It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm just looking at all your posters, so.
Consequence Podcast Network. And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around, of course. That way you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones all the usual places, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to leave a rating and a review. That's the best way to help out a show like this. Wherever you're listening from, if you give it a little rating, and then tell other people why you like it or what your favorite episode was, which artists you want to hear from in the future. Any of that goes such a long way, and I'll keep trying to bring you the goods with the guests that drop by, including some of my most recent interviews with Jack Antonoff of Bleachers. We had actor Peter Capaldi and Tom Mucci to talk about Criminal Records. McKenna Grace was here. We also recently, revisited my interviews with Janelle Monáe, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, Dolly Parton, Les Claypool of Primus, Keanu Reeves, Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam, David Alan Greer was here to talk about The Color Purple, Mikael Hausman dropped in to discuss Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon. We also talked with Gracie Abrams, the cast of Culprits, Vince Clark of Erasure and Depeche Mode, and so many more. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. Of course, that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with one of my all-time favorites, Slater Kinney, Carrie Brownstein, and Corin Tucker. The duo are back with a new Slater Kinney album called Little Rope. It's a record that was completed in the aftermath of a deadly car accident involving Carrie's mother and stepfather in Italy in late 2022. So, of course, we're going to discuss how the, as they say, emotionally personal album felt like it had higher stakes. We will discuss the choice to open with the dark and sinister Hell, and being very specific about the sounds they were going for with producer John Congleton. We also hear about Corin's vocal approaches, especially on a collection that finds her taking the lead more than any other Slater Kinney album in the past. They had J. Smith Cameron from Succession star in the video for Say It Like You Mean It, and we'll hear how even the darkest moments lead to a final sliver, at least, of hope by the end of the journey. All that and more as we talk Little Rope. It's Kyle Meredith with Carrie Brownstein and Corin Tucker of Slater Kinney.
Hi.
It's great to see you guys. And I know it's, I want to say it's been a long time. It hasn't really been a long time. It just feels like it's been a long time, I think. But, you know, I'll do what probably everyone's doing right now. Let me throw you the compliments. This record is so good. You all have never let me down. Somehow you're still batting 1,000 on your records. No small feat. So just congratulations on another fantastic disc you've got here.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, we're really happy about this one. Excited to have people hear the whole thing and definitely excited to play these songs live on tour.
Let me, I was trying to figure out how to get into the record because there is, in the press release, there is a story of loss and grief. And sometimes I know the press release doesn't tell the whole story because I know some of these songs also started before the events, and I didn't want to make any assumptions. And I thought I would just kind of throw it at you to see what the story of this album is in its totality, I guess. And
yeah, I think Little Rope is an album that is a journey. You know, we started the album a while before we went into the studio. We started writing songs that were personal and pretty emotional. I think everyone, you know, coming out of the pandemic was going through something. And I think a lot of these songs were reflecting that. But I think that, you know, even though we started recording the album during the summer before, you know, Carrie had a very personal tragedy that happened, the whole album was definitely impacted by a sense of loss and a sense of, you know, our friendship and our collaboration was tested by it, and it was asked of more because of what she was going through. And so I think the whole album became emotionally tied to that, to what happened.
Yeah. And I think the stakes just feel high on this record, you know, but it doesn't mean that everything is dire. You know, I wouldn't say this is a dark record. I think it wrestles with the in-betweenness, you know, the precariousness of our lives. But part of that precariousness is balancing between two disparate states. And sometimes that state is joy and levity, and other times it's, you know, despair. But there are a lot of shimmering, catchy moments on this record. I think it really just affected the process, you know, and that Corin sings, when people hear this record, this is probably the most Corin's sang on a Slater Kinney record in a really long time. I just wasn't in a place where I could sing as much. And there's just a lot of care and carefulness in terms of the composition and arrangements on these songs. It's just a record we threw ourselves into. And I think people will hear that. There's an energy and a urgency and a restlessness, and also a bit of celebration.
And the celebration, you can hear it in the music, because for as heavy as the topics might be, it ends up being a fun album to listen to. And you know, and that's one of those moments where I'm like, you know, at what point, try not to be voyeuristic, you know, try not to read too much, and trying to just take in the songs as they're given, you know. And as an artist, I don't know how much you think about that. I don't know how much you think about the album in a sort of a linear way, because starting out with Hell, I think that goes against everything I just said. that's not what I would call a fun song. You know, it's a heavy song. It's a beautiful song in its darkness. How does that set up the record, if you think of it like that way at all?
I think we wanted to start with Hell because we wanted to drop the listener into this world that we were building, you know, that was this sort of dark, slightly sinister sound at the beginning of the song, but also very melodic and contemplative. But it just has like a very rock and roll chorus where we're all just like yelling along with each other, you know, that we're all, you know, it has this idea that we're all kind of in this together. And that is, I think, what the album is trying to do, is saying like, yes, we have these very dark moments. We have these fun, silly, manic moments, but we're doing it together. You're not alone. And that's what I think that the record is trying to do, you know, with the musicians and the audience.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astapro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion,
runny and itchy nose and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astepro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. That's A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Slater Kenny.
Carrie, you know, you were talking about the music too. At this point in your career, do you all still think about the specific how a record should sound? I mean, does the record just come on its own, or do you all still think like, oh, let's try this sound? You know, does that happen at all?
Absolutely. I think, and it has happened, I would say, starting with the Hot Rock, you know, which was such a change from Dig Me Out, you know, which Dig Me Out was very raw. We recorded it in a matter of days, and then the Hot Rock is sort of contemplative and understated and has all of these intertwining melodies and kind of is introverted, really, to Dig Me Out's extroversion. So there's a real precedent, I think, to us thinking about the sonic landscape of the album. And, you know, there is a vernacular that, you know, Corin and I in particular have created around Slater Kinney, the way that our guitars intertwine, the way our voices overlay. But we're not precious with how they fit together. We know that they will fit together. We trust that process. There's something sort of ineffable about it. But, you know, in terms of what does the guitar sound like? Well, let's do some tone hunting, you know, like what, let's get something more rubbery here. Let's get something that sounds, has a little more chorus on it or a little more flange. Like how can this instrument express itself in a way that suits the song? I think it has to suit the song. You know, I don't think we start with a sound and say, let's build a song around this specific sound, but is there a way of conjuring something or evoking something through changing up how we approach things? And it's one of the reasons we work with producers. And I think, you know, with this album, we had John Congleton come in, and he was the right combination of not being too purist about who and what Slater Kinney is. He knows, he's been a fan of the band for a long time. He knows what's great about this band. He knows what we're capable of, but he's also like, okay, how can we mess this up in moments that take people by surprise? So we're always interested, I think, in forwarding the narrative, having moments of innovation, challenging ourselves, but being rooted in who we are. We know who we are, and, you know, we're still working within the, you know, we're not making a crazy left turn jazz album. Although when people do that, like Andre 3000, sometimes it's great. You never know, but we haven't done that yet.
The first time I listened, as I was just taking the notes, because sometimes we use other bands, of course, to kind of explain. And for the first time, I wrote down Gang of Four and Sonic Youth. And I thought, some of this record, it sort of reminds me of Gang of Four and Sonic Youth. And it surprised me that I don't think you all had ever reminded me of those two bands before. And I might have expected that, if that makes sense.
That's so funny, because we were definitely trying to remind people of Gang of Four on Dig Me Out. I mean, I remember writing the riff for One More Hour thinking, I hope everyone knows this is like a Gang of Four song. So I'm glad it took us 25 more years to get anyone to think it sounded like Gang of Four.
Now it's there. It's there out in the open. Who was it? You mentioned Congleton. Called him a perennial rascal. I read that somewhere.
Oh, that was me. He is a little perennial rascal.
He's like having a brother in the studio. We're just like, we're always needling. Corn would just be like, oh my God, you guys, like rolling her eyes. The amount of nicknames that he comes up with, none of which we could use on the air, is, he's very, very fun. As well as being good at his job, he's very fun.
Corin, you know, as we talk about the music, you know, your voice is an instrument too, which has always been one of the most powerful instruments in rock and roll. And I mean that. Do you go into it? I'm sort of asking this in the same way, like vocally, with as much singing as you do, did you go into it thinking of it in any certain way?
I think that I tried different approaches on this album, maybe more than other albums in the past, that I would try a song a certain way and maybe come back to it to get an approach that was like a little more nimble and a little lighter in certain ways, so that if I could start the verse in a different place, you know, it gives me more runway to reach a larger apex in the chorus, if that makes sense, you know. So it's just, I think that is one of the things about doing it for a long time, is having the patience to like really engineer the song to give you the largest impact. Sometimes that means starting much smaller with the voice than you would actually think.
Well, the fun moments are all over it. And I know I've used that word, I'm trying not to overuse that word, but especially on the single with Say It Like You Mean It, you know, it's so sing-alongy, I guess, you know, in those moments. Which, by the way, and watching the music video, you've got the J. Smith Cameron on there, who until recently, I'm in Louisville. I think she's from here, or maybe she spent a lot of time in here. But of course, there's Succession, and all of my attention was there. What is she a friend? I mean, how did she end up in the video?
Oh, I just asked her. It's just, I mean, she was, I noticed she was following me on my personal Instagram account, and I'm a big fan of Succession, and I just thought, why not? I'll reach out and see if she's up for making a music video. I don't think this is something she's done yet. She's done a lot of things. She's done a lot of Broadway. She's done a lot of film and TV, but she hasn't done a music video. And we were very lucky that she was open to it. You know, she took it very seriously, but I think in the end we had a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm really, I think we're both very grateful that she was game.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Slater Kenny.
I'm just kind of looking at the track list over here. Like, Don't Feel Right. I mean, I feel like as I hear it, we're really down in the hole in that moment of the album. Maybe, But You Haven't Given Up. I'll kind of throw this one back out there too. What can you say about this one? Because that's just one of those I've come back to that one a few times, as much as enjoyed it as a curiosity. Like, where are we here?
In some ways, that song is like a love letter to friends and people in your life when you are wrestling with despair and despondency and grief and depression. And it is a very isolating feeling sometimes. And it's disorienting and it's incoherent. That's what I think about this song in terms of like the narrator. Like, you get to the chorus and it's sort of just saying like, don't, you know, just kind of stay away from me. Like, I'm not in a good place. It's that pushing away. But what I always think about is just that line, like, all I know is I don't feel right. You know, don't feel right. Like, it's just, it's kind of reducing something so much bigger than you that you can't yet grasp. You don't yet have the language for. You just know that like everything has been reordered in your life. Everything's been reconstituted and reconfigured in a way that exposes all the cracks and all the horrors and all the vulnerabilities. And it leaves you kind of sick and forlorn. And so, so that to me, it also has a drive. It feels like a driving song to me. Like, it feels like the way that, you know, it's kind of structured musically, like it has that kind of, it's a little bit propulsive and you just kind of, you know, repeated riff in the verse and you just keep going and driving along and ruminating and meditating until, you come out the other side. And I think that's why that song is kind of where it is in the order of things too.
And then Journey. And by the end of the record, I do feel like it's something has lifted a bit, that there's light there. There's sort of this get back to workedness.
Get back to work. Yeah. It's all about, it's actually underwritten by a lot of companies. We want people to just get back to work. That work everyone feels so validated for doing.
But that last line, or, you know, I'll find a way, I'll pick your lock, you know, right at the end of the album. I don't know, you know, and Corinne, what can you say? Like, you know, as we talked about Hell leading it off, like, where are we left here?
I think there is an element, like a sliver of hope, of resistance at the end of the album, you know, that we haven't really given up, even though, you know, we find the journey very difficult at times, that, you know, there's still an element of the punk rock, you know, like, well, you can call me or whatever you want. You can look at me however you want, but I'm still fighting that, you know, and that's kind of in the DNA of this band. And I think it's something we want to kind of leave people with, you know?
It is powerful. And I also want to say it has a beautiful album cover that goes along with it. I don't know if you all think of that in a way that speaks to it as well. Like, Carrie, when did you learn to float? Might be the question.
I know. Well, like a lot of people learned how to make bread during the pandemic, but I just worked on that floating. Yeah.
Envious of that. I've had lots of dreams where I do that. I haven't been able to master.
Yeah. Yes. That is Sophia Nolly Allison. She's a photographer, and we were really, really drawn to her work. She seemed just to capture that kind of precariousness that I was talking about earlier, that these states that are liminal and where you're sort of stuck in one precipice with a view of the next and not sure where you're going to land. And I think she was really good at kind of capturing that eeriness and sort of a very momentary serenity before a potential fall or crash. Just it feels, again, those kind of the high stakes that exist even in the quiet moments.
It's powerful. The whole thing is powerful. I'm hoping I'm not over complimenting you guys. And again, I don't mind if I'm over complimenting you guys. So seriously, congratulations on this. I love what you all do. I'm so grateful that you've kept at it. And thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, a pleasure to be here, Kyle. Thank you so much.
And my thanks to Carrie and Corinne. The new Slater Kinney album is called Little Rope. Thanks, of course, to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And don't forget to do us a big favor and give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 90s, from the 80s and 70s. You get the best of new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured the music of the Kinks, the Cars, Lush, the Flaming Lips, the White Stripes, Big Thief, Hooray for the Riff Raff, Remy Zero, Tom Waits, Ike and Tina Turner, Josh Ritter, Teddy Swims, Boy Genius, The Afghan Whigs, Porno for Pyros, Greg Brown, Angie McMahon, James Morrissey, Lenny Kravitz, Smoking Popes, The Beatles, Bjork, Fleetwood Mac, Mary Clayton, Brittany Davis, Snail Mail, PJ Harvey, David Bowie, and my interview with director McGee as we talked about the Netflix film Family Switch. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.